Well, happy Thursday to you. If you're watching this on the day it's released, if you're watching on a different day, hope you're having a great day, whatever day it is for you. And so we thank you for joining us again for this is part two of our walk through Philemon. And so hopefully you've watched the first part. If you haven't, I would encourage you to go and watch that first because we set up the whole context for this letter and who is writing it and why. And kind of talked about some of that at the beginning. And we also talked about our first point that we wanted to think about is that the gospel changes how we relate to each other. That God has taken us and made us part of his family. We are brothers and sisters. And that's how we should relate to each other as a family. We're not, God doesn't save us from our individualistic lives and keeps us that way. He doesn't want us to remain isolated. He wants us to relate to each other and care for each other as a family. And so so we talked about that in part one. And what we're going to see through this is that Paul is really kind of building this argument because there's this conflict. And he doesn't just start right out with the issue. He's going to kind of build up to his appeal. And it's all based on our relationships. And so the first part was that the gospel changes how we relate to each other. And now today we're going to see that the gospel, now he's going to go specifically to Philemon, and he's going to say how the gospel changes how we love each other and even how we care for each other. So we're going to begin in verse number 4 and look at what Paul does. Now, if you remember in part 1, we said that Paul is addressing at the beginning in verses 1 through 3, he's addressing all of them together. Philemon, his wife, his son, the whole church that meets in his home. And those are a lot of plural use there. Well, now when we get to verse 4, now it's going to be singular. So now Paul is speaking specifically to Philemon. And remember, this may this letter may have been read in front of the whole church, which is kind of crazy if you think about it. We wouldn't like that today. But most likely this letter is being read, and now it is being specifically addressed to Philemon. So look at verse 4. Paul says this about Philemon. He says, I thank my God always when I remember you, this is singular, in my prayers. So think about that. Paul is praying for him. Why? Because I hear of your love and of the faith that you have toward the Lord Jesus and for all the saints. So now he's specifically talking to Philemon here, and he says, man, I pray for you all the time because I hear of the love and faith that you have, first towards the Lord Jesus, and then for all the saints. So it seems like Philemon, his life has been radically changed by the gospel. Paul has led him to Christ. He sees how he ministers and cares for people. And, you know, Philemon is that kind of Christian where there's a noticeable difference in him. We don't know what he was like before Christ, but Paul says, man, I see and I hear of your love and the faith that you have to the Lord Jesus and for all the saints. So it seems that Philemon's love for Jesus is what spurs him on to good works and to care for all the saints. Notice that, all the saints. And so notice what he says. He says in verse 6, and I pray that the sharing of your faith may become effective for the full knowledge of every good thing that is in us for the sake of Christ. Now, what Paul is saying here is he says that the sharing of your faith, that's that word, the Greek word koinonia. And sometimes it's called fellowship, is another way that sometimes it's translated. Like in Acts 2, it talks about the fellowship of the first church. And so what Paul seems to be saying here is that the sharing or the koinonia, the fellowship of your faith, may become effective for the full knowledge of every good thing that is in us for the sake of Christ. So it seems that the way that Philemon shares his faith, he lives out his faith. Paul says, I pray that that will continue to be become effective for the full knowledge so that how he lives out his faith will help lead others to glorify and to know God better. Like, isn't that the ultimate goal that we should have in our life? Not that, yes, we should be good people, but it's not that we show so that we're well-liked or so that we have a good reputation. Our good reputation, our good works, the things that we do to serve others is not for ourselves. It's so that others will glorify and know God more and they will come to know God more and love Him more and serve Him, and that they too will give their lives for others. And Paul seems to say that that's what Philemon is doing, is he is living a selfless life. And Paul says that, I pray that if you're being salt and light, as Jesus said, that more people will come to know Jesus and love Jesus because of what you're doing. Man, what a great testimony that is, that Philemon is actually living out his faith and loving people and caring for people and serving people. He has a gospel-centered mindset in his service. Again, he's not just doing it for himself. He's doing it for the glory of God. And can the same be said of you and me, that we're serving others and loving others, and we're trying to show Jesus to them by the way we love them and care for them? And that people will come to know and love God more because of how we serve. And that seems to be the testimony that Philemon has. Because look at verse 7. He says, "For I have derived much joy and comfort from your love, my brother, because the hearts of the saints have been refreshed through you." So Paul is saying, I get encouragement because I hear and I've seen how you care for others. Again, what a testimony to be said of Philemon, that he is an encouragement to Paul because of how he just selflessly serves and loves and cares for people. And so it would encourage Paul while he's in prison, he's writing this letter saying, man, I am so encouraged by what you're doing. Keep it up. I don't doubt that you love Jesus because I see it in your good works. You know, the question is, can the same be said of us? I had somebody back in, when I worked at the library, and he told me this one day. He said, you know, I love everyone. I just love some people when I see them coming, and I see some people when they leave. And so, you know, and I thought, you know, ha, 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 that's funny. But isn't that true? And so my question is, are you someone who is refreshing to others? Notice that word that Paul uses, the hearts of the saints have been refreshed. You know, that idea, man, it is so hot right now. I mean, you go outside, like, it is so hot and humid. And isn't it so good to just drink that cold glass of water or tea or something like that? Or if you have a swimming pool to jump into, how refreshing that is on a hot day. Like, one of the worst things is when you get into your car at the end of the day and it's so hot and the air can't cool it down enough and you're thinking, man, it's so hot, and it's even more hot in the car, right, until the air comes on. Or I think about people that drink coffee on hot days and I think, man, that is like the worst thing for me, because I think I don't even like coffee, but I can't drink hot chocolate on a hot day because it's not refreshing. I need something cool, and I need air conditioning. I need something that's going to help me cool down and be refreshing to me. And that's the kind of idea that Paul is saying here about Philemon, that idea of refreshing. And so in our lives, are we the kind of person that has the testimony that's refreshing to others? Man, they love to see us when we come. Not the point of where we love it when they leave the room, when they leave the conversation, because they're just either negative or they're just a downer, you know. And so how is our testimony to others? Are we pointing people to Jesus? Are we refreshing them? Are we refreshing to believers? Are we an encouragement to those who may not know Jesus, but might could get that person to say, well, hey, that person, there's something different about them. And that's what it seems to be about Philemon here. And so we see that the gospel changes how we serve others. There should be something noticeable in our lives. Now, that's the first application here that we see, but there's something else going on that I want us to think about as we get ready for part three, which will be coming next week. Again, if you're watching this on Thursday, we'll have part three next Tuesday. But I want us to see here, again, what Paul is doing. Now, remember, he talked about being a family in the first part, verses 1 through 3. Now, in verse 4, notice what he's doing. He is building up Philemon, and he's saying nice things about him, but he's not doing it to butter him up. I don't think he's doing that. I think he is genuinely encouraged by him, and he wants to encourage Philemon to continue to be faithful. But here's what I think Paul is doing, and again, it goes back to what we talked about in part one about being a family. What I also think Paul is doing here is he is believing the best about Philemon. Because remember, there's a conflict here, right? There's some sort of conflict between Onesimus and Philemon, and we're going to get into that next week. But notice that what he's doing is Paul has probably heard Onesimus's side, right? Because Onesimus came to him. So he's probably heard all of what Onesimus has to say. And he may not have heard Philemon's side of it yet, right? They couldn't pick up the phone and text. They couldn't pick up the phone and call. They had to send letters. They couldn't even send an email to ask, hey, let me get your side of the story. So he's probably heard all of Onesimus's side. But notice that what Paul is doing is he's starting off believing the best about Philemon. I know this to be true. You love Jesus. You are serving. You do care for people. Like, you're encouraging others. You're encouraging me because of how you encourage others. And notice Paul is not starting off from, Philemon, I can't believe you would do this. I just cannot believe it. Let me tell you everything you've done wrong. No, he's starting off believing the best. And in our relationships, if we're brothers and sisters in Christ, and if we believe that, hey, you love Jesus and I love Jesus, and so, yes, there may be conflict between us, but I don't think you meant to do it. See, a lot of our conflict that we have, unless you're want to be a jerk, a lot of the conflict that we have is just misunderstandings, miscommunications. If there's conflict, it's not because we meant to cause conflict. It's because I misunderstood you, you misunderstood me, there was a miscommunication, something like that. And if we go into our conflicts up front believing the best, then we can begin to deal with that conflict, but we're beginning from a place of, I trust you, I love you, I know you love me, or you care for me, you care for others. But we're starting from this idea of, I don't think you meant to do this. This is uncharacteristic of you. Not that I just believe the worst and think, well, of course you did this because you're an awful person, or you just don't care about anybody but yourself. If we start from there, then guess what? That conflict's going to spiral out of control because we're already judging their hearts and their intentions. But here, Paul is addressing it up front, saying, man, I believe the best about you. You are, you love Jesus. You love other people. You care for all the saints, and it encourages me. And so if we are a family, as we said in part one, then in our conflicts, whether it's in our marriages, whether it's in our biological family, whether it's in our church, whether it's with our close friends, if we start from the idea of believing the best, that doesn't mean we avoid the conflict. We still have to deal with the conflict, but we're beginning from the point of, I love you and I care for you. And here's what I believe to be true about you. Now let's deal with the miscommunication, the misunderstanding, whatever happened. But I'm doing it from the point of, I believe the best in you because you're my brother, you're my sister in Christ. And so that's how this appeal that Paul is going to make, that we're going to see, he's beginning from that point. So to kind of sum up this on a very individual level, the question is are we living do we have the kind of testimony that Philemon has, where we're refreshing to others, and we love, because we love Jesus, now we love others and we serve others and care for them, and we're the kind of person that's refreshing to others. But then building the bigger idea of being a family of God, now we should believe the best about our brothers and sisters that are also in the family of God. So that when we deal with conflict, we're starting from that place of, I love you and I care for you and I know you love me. Now let's deal with the conflict, but I'm starting here believing the best about you. And that could change a lot in our conflict if we start there. Because Philemon actually shows us how to deal with conflict as well. And so I want to make sure we understand that point from a broader picture here as well. But how could that help in your conflict as well if you begin from that point of, I believe the best? And let me say this too, then if we hear something about somebody else, we don't automatically jump to assume that that person was wrong. We believe the best about them as well. Because Paul has heard Onesimus' side, but he's saying, hey, that doesn't change what I know to be true about you. And so he's believing the best about Philemon as well. So think about in your life, are there times in your life where you've had conflict and you said, yeah, I went in, man, believing the worst, and boy, it got ugly. But how could it change if you believe the best? And so I pray that that will help you today in your life. And that's some practical things, both in our own personal life and also in our relationships, that I hope will help you. So God bless you, praying for you today. And I hope you have a great rest of your day, and we will see you Sunday. God bless you.